I tell you what my message was on, Vicky? No, I did not. So, I just can't get over the coincidences, right? Like, it's amazing. God is amazing. It just doesn't even make sense to me, honestly. It really doesn't. I just don't understand how he works. She opened up with a scripture. You're going to hear the scripture over again. She used it in a slightly different context of the world and stuff like that, what's going on in the world and some of the struggles we have with what's going on right now. And it's going to flow right into what we're going to be talking about. And that is a lot of people lately that I've come in contact with, Christian people have felt a little distant from God lately. And there's probably a lot of different reasons for that. And I brought that up a couple of weeks ago about that we can feel separated sometimes. And it just doesn't make sense to us. You know, how come we feel like that, you know? And some of us have never, you know, maybe never knew him. And so you definitely feel distant from it. Paul didn't know him and then persecuted Christians all over the place and God was right there. God is always right there. He's just waiting for you. He's just waiting for you. And so the message that I want to get out is he's never gone. No matter how we feel, how emotionally we feel disconnected from God, he is always there. Some people have been feeling faint, like the word of, like God's voice, you know. Sometimes you can have like this really deep connection. And what a beautiful thing that is, right? When you have those moments where you're connected more than ever before with God, right? It feels like you can do no wrong because any decision you make, God is speaking to you, right? And you're making those decisions and everything's just flowing. What a beautiful time that is, right? What a beautiful time that is. But it's not like that all the time. It's not like that all the time. And it can be disheartening when you feel like you're doing things that you should be doing, that God's speaking to you, and yet there's a distance. You can't hear his voice as much. You're trying to make decisions and trying to figure out what is the right way to go, and you don't hear him. Maybe you're pleading with him about a prayer or something like that, and you don't hear him. He's distant. And a lot of people label this as one of two things. It's the desert road. You're on a desert road, right? You're by yourself and nobody else around. Nobody there. Or it's a dry season. A dry season, right? We've heard people call it a dry season. I'm in a dry season. And part of why I think this is so important to talk about and why God put this on my heart after people started bringing this up is when it's a dry season, we can retract, right? We can kind of pull back away from God, right? We can pull back from people. We can pull back from trying to help people. There's a retraction that goes on sometimes. And we got to be cautious of that. Just because we are not emotionally connected, let's not retract. Let's not pull away from what we're meant to be. And the other thing that happens is because we're retracting back is we feel like we can't talk to anybody about it. Maybe we feel a little ashamed, like we've done something wrong, right? I must have done something wrong, and God is punishing me, right? And we can get these thoughts in our head, and the devil will spin that stuff around in your head over and over again. So we don't want to tell anybody that we're struggling with our connection with God because we've done something wrong. So we keep it to ourselves. And that's the worst thing we can do. That's the worst thing we can do. What we need to do is reach out to each other. Reach out to each other, right? And that's the important part of all this. And we're not alone when we feel like this. In the Bible, there are many times written about important figures in the Bible that have struggled with these type of things. We can see Gilead, Solomon, Job, Peter, Paul, and many others all struggle with times of dry season. It's in there. They're asking, where are you, God? What am I supposed to do? And David probably is one of the most explicit on this. When you read the Psalms, you can see many times in the Psalms he's crying out to God. Many times, right? So in Psalm 22:1, I forgot to highlight that one, Jolinda. 22:1, here's David crying out, my God, why have you abandoned me? Why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far away when I groan for help? Have any of you ever felt like that? Where you're like, God, where are you? I'm pleading with you right now. Where are you? Verse 2. Every day I call you, my God, but you do not answer. Every night I lift my voice, I find no relief. I find no relief. Just waiting on God. Where are you? So we can see it can happen to anybody. It can happen to anybody. I know this is hard to believe, but even Jesus himself had a moment where he felt abandoned from God. Anybody know where that is in the Bible? Where? Right. In the garden. That's one. Where else? On the cross. On the cross. Right? So Jesus questions that too. Matthew 27:45. Now, from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama, sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And forsaken is another word for abandoned, right? Or deserted is another word for forsaken, right? My God, why have you abandoned me? Why have you deserted me? Why have you deserted me? Now in this case, obviously Jesus hadn't done anything wrong. He was perfect. Right? And in that moment, he felt abandoned by God. And really the reason he felt abandoned by God is because he took on our sins. Right? And that put a separation between him and God because he was bearing our sins. Now can you imagine that? You're the Son of God. You are God in flesh form. And you're taking on all this sin that you never did. And you feel abandoned. Sometimes we have one sin and we feel separated from God. And here's Jesus taking on all the sin, separated from God. What a feeling. What a feeling that must have been after being physically beaten down and tortured. So not only are you physically beat down and tortured, ridiculed, spit on, all this stuff. And then you feel abandoned, not only by your people, but by God. Whew. When we are in a dry season, we can feel like this is happening because of something we did wrong and God is punishing us. Now, many times He's not punishing us, but sometimes He is. There are things that separate us from God. And that is a huge punishment, if you ask me. More than anything else is feeling separated from God. Most people say hell is separation from God. Right? So if we're feeling separated from God, that's almost like being in hell. There's examples when He is punishing us for in this way. And there are examples where He isn't. Where people have done nothing wrong and we're separated. So we gotta keep this in mind when we're doing this. And sometimes if there is a separation caused by something, that takes some deep reflection, doesn't it? It takes looking in the mirror and looking at yourself and saying, is there something that's causing this dry season? Maybe there is and maybe there isn't. But you got to be honest with yourself to figure that out. You got to be honest with yourself. We could say we're doing everything right in our own way and then realize that down underneath, buried deep, there's something we're not dealing with. And that can separate us from God. That can separate us from God. There's an assessment that has to happen. An honest assessment. When you're in a dry season, the first thing I would do is to see, where am I going? What am I doing? I'm not saying that everybody's doing something wrong, but you have to at least assess that, right? You have to at least open that door and say, maybe there's something that's going on here. Maybe God is telling me something and I'm not listening. So then you feel this disconnect. Let's get disconnect. And there's a lot of different things that can interfere with our relationship with God. There's unresolved sin. Maybe you're digging a little deeper into sin. Not sin that you get trapped in and fall down. We're talking like you see the sin and you turn your back to deal with that sin. That's unresolved sin. And that can separate you from God a little bit, from hearing from Him. There's unforgiveness. There's distractions. My goodness, this world is distracted, filled. You wanna lose contact with God? Just fill your time with distractions. I've been there, done it, still doing it, more than I want to. Circumstances that affect us negatively. Loss of spouses. Maybe something tragic happened in your family. Right? Maybe you lost your job, right? And we get all caught up in that particular problem, right? Maybe it's pain. Maybe it's pain. And it's affecting you negatively. And what you're doing is instead of releasing it to God, you're holding on to it. You're holding on to it. Every time somebody talks to you, you're talking about that pain. Maybe you're talking about that death. Maybe you talk about that loss of job. And you're so focused on that, you're losing sight that God wants to be part of your life. Not spending enough time with God. Not spending enough time with God. Right? You want to lose contact with anything, and I don't care what it is. If you don't spend enough time at it, you're going to lose it. If you're an athlete and you don't practice at it, you're going to lose some skill. If we're not connecting with God, you're going to lose some connection. Not pursuing Him. Do you really want to be connected with God? Or is He just like a second place person? Is he just somebody that you do something at 9 at night? Or 7 in the morning? Or 4:30 in the morning? Or noontime? Are you pursuing Him? Are you pursuing Him through the distractions? Through the problems that we have? Because if you're not, there's going to be a little distraction. There's going to be a separation from God. Are we putting idols ahead of Him? Idols ahead of Him. And you know about idols. They can be a million idols. A million idols, right? Money. Family can be an idol. Right? You can put family ahead of God. Dangerous place to be. Right? God has to be number one. Has to be. That's how He is. He's a jealous God. He wants your attention. He wants your attention. And even though He can be distant during those times when we're separating ourselves, we've made decisions, we've done bad choices, we've made mistakes, and He's distant from us, He's still there. He's still there. He's still there. These are a few of the type of things that we deal with that we can be separated from God. But sometimes God doesn't reveal those things to us. Right? Maybe He hasn't revealed the issue that's there. And then other times, there is no issue. But we need revelation. We need revelation on where we need to change. Right? And sometimes He doesn't reveal that. We always have to remember that God is sovereign. Right? He's independent. He doesn't think like people think on this earth. Right? He knows what's best. He knows what's right. He knows what's truth. He can do anything He wants. He created this. He can do whatever He wants. Sometimes for unknown reasons, He pulls back on our emotional connection with Him. And there's no apparent reason. And even when we don't understand why He's doing this, I believe it is always in some strange way for our good. We don't really understand that. Why is He separating from us? Why is He distancing from us? Right? Maybe He's building us up a little bit. Maybe He's building some spiritual strength in us. And we don't see that until later on. Maybe you never see it at all. You don't recognize it. Most of the time it's there. It could be recognized, but we miss it. We miss it. In many ways, our relationship with the Lord is no different than any other relationship we have. The only difference, really, is that we're meant to put the Lord first in our relationship. That's the only difference. Right? He's the priority. He's the priority. Or at least should be the priority. But we have relationships. We have relationships. And a dry season can happen not only with God, but with our spouse, with family members, with our children, our friends, maybe even church, co-workers, right? We can feel a disconnect from each other. We can be in that desert place. But that does not mean that they are abandoning us or that we are meant to abandon them. Right? It's a season. It's a length of time. Some are longer than others. Have you ever lost touch of a friend that you were really tight with? Really, really tight with? Like a true friend? And you're separated for a certain amount of time and there's a disconnect. You don't think about them. They're not thinking about you. Right? There's a disconnect there. But if you get back together with them, whether it's a year down the road or 20 years down the road, or somebody who just told me 40 years down the road, they're at their reunion and they reconnect like that. That's because that connection was never gone. Even though they were distracted and distanced from each other, that connection never went away. And that's what God's connection is. It never goes away. We may feel like we're in a dry season for a week, a day, a month. But that does not mean that he's gone. That doesn't mean that we don't have that connection. We are not meant to give up on them, and they are not meant to give up on us. So we don't give up on God. He doesn't give up on us. Right? These are relationships. If we care about the relationship, and there's revelation or something that needs to be corrected in the relationship, then we are meant to work on it and not ignore it. Right? Not ignore it. In those cases, what we are doing at that time often determines how long we are in a dry season, right? So if we ignore the issues that are there, we may be in a dry season a little bit longer than we should be, right? Maybe you have something going on in your marriage and it's causing a separation emotionally in that marriage. And it's something that's not being dealt with, that's causing that separation, right? And that's the way it is with God. So we can have a relationship with God, and if we're not dealing with an issue, there's a separation. And until we deal with that issue that we may not want to face, then we're going to have a little separation there. And even in that separation, he's rooting for us. And I believe he's up there going, Reggie, you can do this. You can get over this. Sometimes we have to seek God more than typical. Sometimes we get into a routine. This is every day I do this. I'm every day I do my devotion at 5:30 in the morning. I say my prayers at 9:99. That's what I do, right? In between, I might listen to a little bit of this and a little bit of that. I may listen to a preacher. I might read a devotional, and that's the routine, right? And then we fall into a dry season. And during that dry season, should be like a little wake-up call. Should say, well, maybe my routine, even though I've been faithful and diligent and doing my good deed, maybe I need to do a little bit more. Maybe I need to pursue him a little harder. If you want your relationship with your wife to work out, you're going to do some things to pursue that relationship a little bit more. If you're separated from your child, you're going to pursue that child a little bit more. If you're separated from a friend and you want that connection with the friend, you're going to pursue that friendship a little bit more. If it really matters to you. If it really matters to you. Now maybe it doesn't matter to you. Maybe you're okay being in a dry season and being separated. But then that's not a real relationship, is it? In Luke 11:9, it says, "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened." So if you're feeling distant from God, maybe we need to knock a little bit more. Maybe we need to seek a little bit more. Right? And God, when I was working on this, he told me that when we feel distant from him, we need to hold on to his truths more. Right? So how do we deal with the dry season? We seek him more, right? And when we seek him more, hopefully you're holding on to these truths that we're going to go over a little bit more. To believe that even when we are separated from him, he never abandons us. And you can find tons of examples in the Bible about this. Tons. And we're going to go through a few of them, but man, there's a lot. Let's go to Jeremiah 29:12. "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you." It doesn't say, "Sometimes I will listen to you." It says, "I will listen to you." When we pray, he's listening. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. "And you will seek me and find me. When you search for me with all your heart." With all your heart. You're in a dry season, and you're feeling separated, and you're pursuing him, but not really pursuing him. I've been there. I've done that. I've had dry seasons. I don't really understand why they happen sometimes. Sometimes I do, because I did some assessment. I said, what am I doing wrong? But sometimes I didn't. I just felt separated, right? And I said, well, maybe I need to do a little bit more and kind of connect with God a little bit more, you know? Maybe I'll play a song, and that will lift me up, connect me, right? And then it doesn't. And then it doesn't. And the reason it doesn't, and I still feel that separation, is because I'm really not pursuing with all my heart. What I'm doing is playing a game. I'm playing a game. I'm saying, God, I'm being more faithful to you. I'm listening to this song. And God's sitting there, good for you. Good for you. Right? Good for you. That's nice. How nice. Right? And in the middle of that song, I'm thinking about all these other things, not even listening to the words. Right? Right? I mean, that's how we are. But he's saying, like, listen, you're in a dry season. Seek me with all your heart. With all your heart. I'm the priority. I'm the priority. You do God first, and everything falls into place, right, Vicky? Like she just read, right? You do that. So that's where Deuteronomy 31:8 comes in, which happens to be the scripture that Vicky chose, right? And the Lord, He is the one who goes before you. Right? Who goes first? The Lord goes first. There's the instruction. Right? He goes first. Reggie does it. The one named Reggie doesn't go first. Right? The Lord goes first. The Lord goes first. He goes before me, and He goes before you. He will be with you. Right? So He goes first, but He's with us. He's with us. He will not leave you or forsake you or abandon you or desert you. That's a truth. That's a truth. Do not fear nor be dismayed. So when we're in a dry season, do not fear. Right? That's what happens, really. Right? We're in a dry season. We want to be connected to God. We're pleading with God about some person, maybe. Right? Asking for prayers for them. We're not seeing change. And we're in a dry season. Right? And we get nervous. We get nervous. We get nervous that maybe maybe we're never saved. This is what Satan's going to tell you. You were never saved. You were never saved. And that's why you don't feel connected to God. Right? Or maybe we feel like we were saved, but we're going to lose our salvation. Right? Maybe I did something so bad, God said, that's it. Boop. You're out the door. See you later. You're gone. That's a lie. That's a lie. Never fear that. You're saved, you're saved. Right? You're saved, you're saved. He's not going to abandon you. He's not going to abandon you. He's always there for you, rooting you on. Amen. So do not fear. Don't fear that. Wipe that right out of your head. That's gone. Right? That's gone. Deuteronomy 4:31. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. Thank God for that. Because I am a mess, and He is a merciful God. He will not forsake you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers which He swore to them. He made a covenant. He made a covenant. And He swore to them. He's sovereign, but He's just. He never will break a covenant. We will never have another flood that will surround the earth. That won't happen. He made a covenant. Something else could happen, but it won't be flood. Joshua 1:5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, So will I be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Can you see a theme? Can you see a theme? And it doesn't say sometimes. It says never. Never, never, never. I will never abandon you. People abandon people. God does not abandon. Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you, be strong? He's telling us, be strong, right? And be good courage. Do not be afraid, nor dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You cannot hide from God. He is with you wherever you go. You can try to hide. It ain't going to happen. He's with you wherever you go. And if he's with you, he's listening. He's listening. Matthew 5:6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for his righteousness, so they will be filled. Right? Don't be afraid to pursue God. Put him as a priority. Try to strive for righteousness, right? We all fall. We all fall. We're not there. Right? There was only one perfect person. But that doesn't mean we stop pursuing that. We keep pursuing. We keep pursuing. That's the difference, right? I talked about accountability a couple weeks ago, right? We be accountable for your actions. Everybody says, well, look at those Christians. They're such hypocrites. In a lot of ways, we are. And I'm not afraid to say that because I know it. Right? I'm accountable for making mistakes. Right? I got to own up to those mistakes. But here's the difference. Here's the difference. They're not thriving for righteousness. They're not pursuing righteousness. I am. And all Christians should be pursuing righteousness. We're going to make mistakes. But we're pursuing righteousness. We're not just saying, I make a mistake, so therefore, that's who I am. God made a mistake. And so I've changed who I am. He didn't make a mistake. He didn't make a mistake. And we don't stop. We keep pursuing. That's the difference. Matthew 28:19. Go, therefore, and make disciples out of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Even to the end of the age. He's never going away. He's never going away. He's with you all the time. Right to the end of the age. Right to the end of the age. You can't get away. He's not going to abandon you. I'm going to go back to Psalms 22, and we see in that same writing where David was saying, God, where are you? Why have you abandoned me? Right? And he felt like he was abandoned. He was getting attacked by enemies, right? He was surrounded. And that's when he was really crying out. But he still realizes, as we're going to see, that God is with him. Even though he's questioning God, right? Where are you, God? But I know you're there. Where are you, God? Right? Why are you not listening to me is really what he's saying. Why are you not listening? I don't feel your presence when people are coming at me and attacking me. Right? That's a hard thing to do. That's a heavy distraction. You get attacked. Do you feel like God is there helping you? Right? But in 22:25, we could see that even though he's questioning God, where are you? We could see, I will praise you in the great assembly. I will praise you in a great assembly. And is he really going to praise somebody he feels that is not there? He knows he's there. It just doesn't feel like he's there. I will fill my vows in the presence of those who worship you. So not only do I know you are there, I'm still going to do my part. I'm going to fulfill my vows that I made to you. And then in Psalm 22:28, David proclaims, "For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations." Right? So even in the midst of turmoil, I'm getting attacked. I'm getting beaten down. In the midst of that, he's still there. He hasn't abandoned me. And I'm still going to be faithful to you, Lord God. And he's in charge. Huge. So even though David didn't feel connected to God, he knew he was there. And that's the lesson. That's the lesson. He is always here. Never let a dry season separate you further. Don't retract. Don't retract. Pursue. Pursue. When I read statements like in Isaiah 43:1, was it 1? I don't know if that matches up. We'll see in a minute. I like to substitute my name or someone else's name into the statement, right? So there's times where people's names get inserted somewhere, and you can insert your own name and believe it. Yes, okay. I don't know why I was thinking I was off, but something in my head. Okay, so it says, "But now, says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob." Let's put in O Steve, right? "But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Steve, and who formed you, O Vicky, fear not. I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name, and you are mine." And you are mine. You insert your name in there. You insert your name in there, and you feel the presence of God. Do it. Today. Go home, open up 43:1, Isaiah 43:1, and insert your name. And tell me you feel defeated. You can't. You can't. "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you." Through the rivers, through your trials, through your trials, he won't let us get overflowed. He'll be there with us, right? and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Nor shall the flames scorch you. You know why? Because no matter what happens on this earth, my kingdom is with Him. That is why. Right? I may get burned on this earth. But in the end, I know where I'm going. And I know who I'm going to be with. Nothing can touch me. Nothing can touch you. Rest assured, nothing can separate you from God. That's a fact. Romans 8:38, this is where we're going to close. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers nor things present, nor things to come. Nothing. Now, before, in the future, nothing. Nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing. Nor any created thing on this earth. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right? If you believe these things, your life goes a little easier. There's going to be trials. We're going to be hitting walls. We're going to be attacked. But He will never, ever abandon us. Ever. And you can hold on to that. And you can get through any dry season. They're going to come. If there is a dry season, assess to make sure that you're not ignoring something. Right? But just because you're in a dry season doesn't mean you did anything wrong. They happen. They happen. But be strong enough to pursue Him more. Don't retract. Don't retract. Why? Because He never abandoned us. And that's the end. Amen. Dear Jesus, we just love You and thank You. We thank You for what You're doing in our lives. We thank You for never, ever giving up on us. That You're there even when we emotionally don't feel connected. That You are working through everything. You are an awesome God. And I have no idea how all this works. I don't understand how You can see me, listen to me, while You're listening to millions of others. I don't get it. But I don't have to. I don't have to. I know it's happening. Or else why, when Vicky came up here right off the bat, start saying scriptures that I wrote down. So You are sending messages to us, and You are listening to us. And that I know. I've seen it too many times to deny it. Too many times. You are faithful. And we love You. In Your name, amen. Amen.